So our scripture this morning focuses on Luke, but also I pulled in a story from John. So reading first from Luke 13, 18 to 21. Then Jesus said, "What is the kingdom of God like? How can I illustrate it? It is like a tiny mustard seed that a man planted in a garden. It grows and becomes a tree, and the birds make nests in its branches." He also asked, "What else is the kingdom of God like? It is like the yeast a woman used in making bread. Even though she put only a little yeast in 3 measures of flour, it permeated every part of the dough." Reading from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 8, and then 16 and 17. There was a man named Nicodemus, a Jewish religious leader who was a Pharisee. After dark one evening, he came to speak with Jesus. "Rabbi," he said, "we all know that God has sent you to teach us. Your miraculous signs are evidence that God is with you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, unless you are born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God." "What do you mean?" exclaimed Nicodemus. "How can a man go back into his mother's womb and be born again?" Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again. The wind blows wherever it wants, just as you can hear the wind, but can't tell where it comes from or where it is going. So you can't explain how people are born of the Spirit. For this is how God loved the world. He gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his Son into the world, not to judge the world, but to save the world through him." So the kingdom of God is one of the most talked about topics in the New Testament. Jesus references it 150 times in the Gospels. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are both terms that are used that are interchangeable. Since the Jewish people felt uncomfortable to say the name of God for fear that they might accidentally say the name in vain, and so they would use the kingdom of heaven more frequently. But Jesus was bold and he would say the kingdom of God. So both are interchangeable. Now Jesus gives us 7 parables that all begin, "The kingdom of heaven is like." And there are 6 more parables that talk about the kingdom principles of how the kingdom looks or how we are or should be in the kingdom. Even the Beatitudes. "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth," which is reference to the final kingdom. "And blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." So with so much said about it, I think we can fairly say that this was an important topic for Jesus. And if it's important to Jesus, it should also be important to us. So what exactly is this kingdom of God? Well, it generally refers to the spiritual and sovereign reign of God over creation. And it's revealed to us through the ministry, the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it's kind of a bizarre thing because it's already happening, and then there's also a "but not yet" piece to it. So in the present, it's about this internal transformation of our hearts through grace. But in the future, it will be this complete restoration of all things. The already is the spiritual rule over our hearts and our lives from anyone who's willing to submit that authority to God. So when we submit and come under God's rule, we are part of this kingdom. And the "not yet" is this sovereign rule that is coming. It's marked by the return of Jesus and a 1,000-year reign of Christ physically on the earth. Now, Daniel said that the rule of heaven will be set up, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom that will never be destroyed. This is that thing with which we hope for, this thing with which we wait, when Jesus returns and sets right all that is wrong. That's the not yet part. Now, in order for there to be a kingdom, there must be subjects, citizens of that kingdom. That begs the question, well, how do we get to be a citizen of the kingdom of God? And Jesus tells Nicodemus in the very famous passage that we read this morning that we must be born again. I don't know about the generations that you've lived in, but the phrase born again can cause a little ruffle in the back of the neck because of the abuse of how the church has presented this born again theology, when it simply means to submit. To be born again means to submit to Christ, to allow the Spirit to birth something new in you. Jesus says, I tell you the truth, unless you were born again, you cannot see the kingdom of God. It's a necessary requirement, and he emphasizes that by saying no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water, that's the natural way everyone's born, and the Spirit. So in order to be a citizen of the kingdom of God, we must be born of the Spirit. And the only way to do that is to pass through Jesus. I referenced last week when I said no one comes to the Father but through Christ. And so this is the way. Being born again is speaking to this spiritual transformation that comes from faith in Jesus Christ, the work of the Holy Spirit, and the cross. Because it's only possible because of the cross. So when we are born again, we become a new creation, and we pass from this life of sin where we're a slave to sin to this new life where we're reconciled with God and made holy and righteous. The Apostle Paul tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he says, this means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person. The old life is gone, a new life has begun. To be in Christ is to be born again and to belong to the kingdom of God. Now I can say with some confidence that we who have gathered here to worship Jesus are citizens of heaven. We are in the already, and we wait for the but not yet time when Jesus returns and God's reign is established forever. So fellow citizens of heaven, we need to pay attention to what Jesus says of the kingdom that we belong to. In our passage from Luke, Jesus is talking about the already here aspect of the kingdom. The kingdom of God is like a mustard seed and yeast. Both start tiny, almost insignificant, but then transform into something amazing that impacts everything around them. The mustard seed grows to a huge tree, giving space for nesting birds. The yeast impacts every part of the flour, transforming it to rise and become bread. Imagine, if you would, the kingdom of God in you, this tiny little mustard seed. And it begins to grow slowly, but more quickly as you learn to live in this new life, as you learn to let go of the old things and embrace all that is new. The fruit of the Spirit become your fruit, and those around you benefit. The birds benefit because of the mustard tree. Now, if we pull into the kingdom what we know of God, in 1 John 4:16, God is love, and all who live in love live in God, and God lives in them. So the kingdom of God is a place of love. And I believe that the yeast that Jesus is talking about represents love. When you add a little love into any situation, it quickly impacts every aspect and can transform that situation, making room for good to rise. This is the citizenship to which we are a part. The kingdom of God is not a stagnant entity waiting in the shadows for the return of Jesus, but it is a powerhouse of love, sparking growth and impacting the world around us. Or at least it should be. So what determines how much growth and fruitfulness we will see in our lives as citizens of the kingdom of heaven? Well, spiritual growth relies on three things. First off, staying connected to Jesus. Secondly, following the guidance of the Holy Spirit, learning those prompts of the Holy Spirit. And the third is simply obeying God's word. Growth and maturity come through this inner transformation of our hearts. As we follow those three key things, the Holy Spirit is given room then to produce and transform our hearts and to produce love. God enables that growth, but we have a responsibility to cultivate good soil. And we do that through spiritual disciplines like prayer and fasting and worship and service. When we spend time regularly reading our Bibles, meditating on scripture, and applying what we learn to our lives, that spurs on the spiritual growth or maturity. And the fruitfulness flows out of that. The more we abide with Christ as branches connected to the vine, the more fruitful our life becomes. And that spirit-filled life produces those wonderful things that we all want: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, Jesus calls us to be the mustard seed and to be the yeast and to be citizens of God's kingdom that flourish for the benefit of those around us. Jesus is inviting us to be something bigger than ourselves, to be a part of something bigger than we can do on our own. He invites us to be someone who loves like Jesus, lives like Jesus, and so looks like Jesus. Are you game to be that someone? Are you game to allow the Holy Spirit to do the completed work Jesus has set out for you, that your life might be all that God intended for it to be? To being born again is the starting point, and too often we think it's the end point, that salvation is the goal, and once we've attained salvation, then we just wait. But that's not how God sees it. Being born again is the beginning of a transformation. It is the starting point to an amazing life. It is the entry point into belonging to this incredible, eternal kingdom of love, of which you are a citizen. And your citizenship cannot be revoked. Are you in? Are you willing to do the things to produce the good soil, to cultivate the soil of your heart, that you might grow huge branches that others can nest in? It's the call that Jesus offers to us. Go now in the confidence that you belong to God's kingdom. You are loved, chosen, and welcomed as children of the King. May Christ go before you to guide you, the Holy Spirit dwell within you to strengthen you, and the love of the Father surround you wherever you go. Live as people of the kingdom, sharing mercy, offering grace, and carrying the light of Christ into the world. And may the peace, joy, and hope of God's kingdom be with you today and always.